You ready? Let's learn. Okay, Chavukah. Well, Hashem, there's a whole chavura here. We're learning Masechta Megillah during this time from Tu Shvat. And all over the world, Jews are learning Masechta Megillah. We're getting ready for Nyatim, but now it's Tanis Esther. So I want to talk in learning the Nigla, or the Pnimius, the Indian of Tanis Esther, without talking about the Tanis itself. But the nature of this day and how by understanding this we can understand the mahus of the whole Yontif of Purim. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, what we were talking about last time, the Mishnah tells us the days that are ruim for Kriyas and Megillah, that we can learn Megillah. Megillah Nikreis, Megid Aleph, Yubez, Yugimel, Yudal, Tesvar. The Mishnah says, Leipachis, Veloyos. Not more and not less. And we spoke about that last time. And the Gemara, both the Bavli and Yerushalmi, because tonight we're going to be comparing the Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Gemara in both the Bavli and Yerushalmi brings a drasha. And that drasha is in order to teach us the rabbis, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. The drasha of the Gemara you remember is, Ki yomim asher nochu behem hayehudim, Yomim ka yomim l'rabbis yud aleph yud beis. Yomim ka yomim. So the Gemara says that that's to teach us that you can lay in Megillah also on yud aleph and yud beis. But what's fascinating is that in both of the Gemaras, in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the question is asked, why doesn't the drasha include yud gimel? What about yud gimel? That's now, this tonight, tomorrow. What about Yud Gimel? The Joshua is only the rabbis, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis. Those 2 days, Yomim Kayom, the 2 days, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. What about Yud Gimel? And despite the fact that the Gemara does not darshan any riboy to teach us that we can lay the Megillah on Yud Gimel, sof kol sof, the Megillah can be laid on Yud Gimel. It's included in the list of the Mishnah, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So regarding the answer to this question, where do we get Yud Gimel from? It's not in the ribui of the Pasuk, so how do we know we can lay Megillah Yud Gimel? Where does that come from? So here, there's a difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli, on the first Omer, on Beis Amud Aleph, the Bavli tells us, Omer of Shmuel by Yitzhak, Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakol Hi. Yud Gimel is Zman Kehila Lakoli. Zman Kehila Lakoli. V'le Tzarech L'Ribui. And because it's Zman Kehila Lakoli, we'll talk about that in a second, Rashi, because there's something unique about Yud Gimel itself, it doesn't require, it's obvious. Bavli tells us it's obvious that you can lay in the Megillah on Yud Gimel, Tanis Esther. Because why? Because it's Zman Kehila Lakoli. Rashi says, what does it mean, Zman Kehila Lakoli? Hakol Nekolu Lihinoke Ma'iveyem. It's not Yud Gimel. Everybody gathered together. Lihinokem me'oiveyam. To take revenge from our enemies. To kill Amalek on Yud Gimel. As it's been told in the Megillah. Ben b'shushan, ben b'shar mekaymetz. In Shushan and all other places. K'may shekosu b'seifa, as it says in Megillah Esther. Hilkach loitzor k'ral ribuye. Sheheroi l'kriya. Since the day of Yud Gimel was the day when we took revenge from our enemies. And we were killing the Amalekim. So because of that, Rashi explains, you don't need any drasha, you don't need anything to teach us, any pasuk to tell us that you can lay the Megillah in Yud Gimel. Of course you can lay the Megillah in Yud Gimel. It's Zman Kehila Lakol, Nikalu Ba'amar al-Navsham. On the day of Yud Gimel, we stood up for ourselves and we fought against Amalek. And therefore, the Iker Hanes Boihoya, Rashi says, the Iker Hanes Boihoya. The Ikar HaNes, the main miracle, Boihayu, was on Yud Gimel, on Tanis Esther. So Akasha, of course you can lay the Megillah on Yud Gimel. The Ikar HaNes, Hayu Yud Gimel, the main Nes was on Yud Gimel. So according to the Bavli, we do not need any type of a ribui to learn Yud Gimel as one of the days of Kriya, because really, Yud Gimel, according to the Bible, is the Shoresh, is the whole reason that we lay in the Megillah all together is because of what took place in Yud Gimel, that we defeated Amalek in Yud Gimel. The other days, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yudalf Tesvav, of course not, but Yudalf and Yubayis need some sort of a ribui, need a limud. How are we allowed to lay in the Megillah in Yudalf and Yubayis? But as far as Yud Gimel is concerned, the Bible is telling us, what do you mean? Yud Gimel is where Yantav comes from. We fought against Amalek and we defeated Amalek. So therefore, there's no need for a ribui. The Yushalmi here is Mamash v'Nahaf Rechu. The Yushalmi holds that really Yud Gimel, Tanis Esther, really is not l'chachila the right day to lay Megillah. It's not a proper day to lay Megillah, l'chachila. Why? Because on Yud Gimel they were fighting this Melchama, it was not a day of Menucha, of peace and of rest. So because of that, the Yushalmi says it's not the Ikke day of Kriyas and Megillah to lay on Yud Gimel. Aye, we do. So the reason the Yushalmi says is b'de'evet, since we lain, you can lain on Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, because there's a ribui in Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, and you can lain on Yud Aleph and Tesvav. No. So Yud Gimel is sort of sandwiched in the middle. But the Itzumo Shel Yom of Tanis Esther, according to the Yushalmi, is not a day of Kriyas Megillah. It's not a day of Kriyas Megillah. And the Nafkimin is that when Purim, when Yudal comes out on Shabbos, according to the Yushalmi, this is the way the Yushalmi understands, that when Purim comes out, when Yudal comes out on Shabbos, then we lay in when do we lay in Megillah? Not on Friday, not in Yud Gimel. Once Purim is not taking place, once Kriyas Megillah is not going to be on the Itzumo Shel Yom of Purim, because it can't, because it's Shabbos, when Shabbos comes out, Yudal, we don't lay in the Megillah on Yud Gimel, because the Yushalmi holds that really Yud Gimel, the Etzim is not the right time for Kriyas Megillah. So when are we Makdimim? We're Makdimim, we Maknisa, and we lay in the Megillah when Yudal comes out on Shabbos, we lay in the Megillah when on Thursday. We don't lay on Erev Shabbos, on Yud Gimel, on Tanis Esther. We don't lay on Yud Gimel, if it would come out that way, if it could come out that way. Because the truth is that Yud Gimel is really not Roy LaKriya. It's really not the day that's for Kriya. It's not the day to lay. So let's understand this machlokes. This is a murdik machlokes within the Bavli and Yushalmi regarding the day of Tanis Esther, regarding Yud Gimel. So on that day of Yud Gimel, the Yom Kehila Lakol, as Rashi tells us, we fought against Amalek and we were victorious. The question, is that a day for Kriyas Megillah? The Bavli says, yes. The day of the war, that time of being victorious in the war against Amalek, is an ideal time for Kriyas Megillah. And the Yushalmi says, no. That the day of that Milchama, the time of that war, is not ideal for Kriyas Megillah. So what's the machlokes? It seems, so I was thinking that according to Bavli, the Mahus of Purim, the Mahus of the Yontif of Purim, is the Nais, the miracle of the Nitzachin in the Milchama. We're thanking Hashem Baruch Hu, and we're besimcha because of the Yeshua that Hashem has brought, that the Yeshua of Nikol v'Amud al Nafsham, that we stood up for ourselves and we fought against Amalek and we were able to kill our enemies. Yud Dalad was established as the day of Purim. That's the day of Hayom Asher Nochu Me'oyveihem, that the war was already finished. It was not established on the day of the war itself, on Yud Gimel, as the Mefarshim say, because on Yud Gimel there are Sukkim B'Milchama. On Yud Gimel they were still fighting the war. So it wasn't the day to make the Yontif. But the actual Yontif is celebrating and commemorating the Nitzach and the victory over our enemies. But the day was, they were kaveh the day of Yudal after the Milchama was finished. Therefore, according to the Bavli, the Yontif of Purim is the Simcha of Purim is on Yudalit, but the actual Nais was the Nais of Yud Gimel of Tanis Esther. The Yushalmi disagrees. The Yushalmi holds that the Ikka Nais of Purim is not to commemorate the military victory that we defeated Amalek on Yud Gimel. The Menucha is the Ikka of Purim, the Menucha. And the reason for this is that according to Yushalmi, even though when we look at the surface of things, Mechitzanias, the great tzara, the great crisis of Purim was the Gzeirah of Haman, and therefore the Yontiv was a Yontiv of the Yeshua of Anahaf Eichu. But Yushalmi, it seems, holds that the pnimius of the story of Purim is really something else. Externally, The Inyan of Purim is Yud Gimel, Nitzachon, victory, and so on. That's the Chitzanyas. That's wonderful, that's fantastic, but that's the Chitzanyas. But the Pnimius is a different story. And when one learns Yushalmi, Bavli Yushalmi, and you compare these Nimudim of Bavli Yushalmi, you will see this Keseda. The difference between the Chitzanyas and the Pnimius. The story that's going on behind the scenes is that that Kufa of Purim, there was a tremendous Hisairus to return to Yerushalayim, as you all know. There's a tremendous, tremendous desire on the part of the Jews in Bavel and other places to return to Yerushalayim, to come back to Yerushalayim, and to build the Bayis Sheni, to build the Second Beis Hamikdash. We are told that Achashverosh was the one who was mevatel the Melechus HaBinyan. He was the one who put a stoppage on the work of the Second Beis Hamikdash. That was him. In other words, the process of that geula and return to Yerushalayim and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that process had already started. It was Baderech. And Achashverosh, with the whole Inyan of Amalek and Haman, put a stoppage, a work order stoppage, and the Malacha ended with the second Beis HaMikdash. And that's how we understand that Achashverosh by the Suda, Achashverosh takes out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he shows off the big day kuna at the party that he's making, and he makes the cheshbon that the 70 years have already passed. Plus, it's already past the 70 years that Hashem told him. The Navi said they're going to leave Galus, and therefore the Gula did not take place. The Gula is not taking place. It's the end of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the end of the Jewish people's return to Yerushalayim and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's going on behind the scenes. Now the Bavli tells us, the Gemara Tesvav Amud Beis, the Bavli tells us that Achashverosh said to Esther, when Esther Malchus came, Achashverosh said to Esther, I'll give you anything you want, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus, until half of the Malchus, and the Gemara says, Loi Kol HaMalchus, I'll give you Ad Chatzi HaMalchus, but not the whole Malchus. What does that mean? Not the Beis HaMikdash. You can't have the Beis HaMikdash. Don't ask me for the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Chatzi HaMalchus means 127, you can have whatever you want. But the whole world you can have. But I'm not giving you the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara tells us that even after the Nes of Purim happened and we defeated our enemies, the Gemara says, Akati, this is one of the reasons why we don't say Hallel. One of the reasons why we don't, the Gemara tells us, why we don't say Hallel on Purim is Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. The Bavli says that after we were given permission to fight against Amalek, the next day we were still subjects in the kingdom of Achashverosh. The life went on as usual. In other words, there was a Gzeira to kill us. There was a wonderful nace that took place. The decree was annulled, and not only that, v'nahafeichu, and on Yud Gimel, on Tanis Esther, we defeated Amalek. Then the Yontif was established after we completed that defeat, that victory on Yudal. But Lamaise, after Purim in Shushan, after Purim took place, the Beis HaMikdash was still in Chorban, and life went on as regular. Akati avdei Achashverosh anan. However, when you look in the Medrash, now the Medrash, like the Yerushalmi, is Teres Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash is Teres Eretz Yisrael, like the Yerushalmi. The Bavli is Teres Chutz La'aretz. The Medrash in the Yerushalmi is Teres Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash, the Yerushalmi, the Zohar Kodesh, all of that is Teres Eretz Yisrael. When you look in the Medrash says, Achashverosh, Shebitel Melechus Beis HaMikdash, that Achashverosh is the one who initially stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Who Achashverosh? As it says in the beginning, Behibim Achashverosh. Who's Achashverosh? Behibim Achashverosh. Achashverosh stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Who was preventing Bnei Yisrael from returning to Yerushalayim? Who Achashverosh? He's the same Achashverosh, the Medrash says, Shegozer Alav Shiyabona, that after the Nes happened, he was on better terms, and Mordechai HaTzadik is a big person over there. So he was the one, Achashverosh, that would ultimately return and give permission for it to be rebuilt. which would actually take place through his grandson, Dayavish. Right? That would take place through Dayavish. So it comes out, listen to this, it's an amazing thing. It comes out that according to the Yerushalmi, the hidden story of Purim, which we don't read openly in the Megillah, for reasons I'm not going to go into right now, but the hidden story of Purim, of the Yom Tov of Purim, the Gula of Purim, is the return or the resumption of that Aliyah that began, of that process that had started before Haman and the Gzeirah of Haman with Achashverosh. After Purim, that Tahalich, that process was resumed towards the goal of ultimately returning to Yerushalayim and building the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. And it's interesting, when you look in the Shaar HaKavanos, Reb Chaim Vital, you see that Reb Chaim Vital in the Shaar HaKavanos of Purim speaks at length about the Soid of the Gula of Purim as being the Gula of HaMikdash. That the Soid, the deeper secret, the Soid of the Yom Tov of Purim is not that we were going to die and we were saved. That's the Bavli's Mahal. That we were going to be killed. There was a threat of genocide of all the Jews in the 127 provinces of Ahasuerush. There was a threat that we were going to be killed, and that was annulled, and we defeated our enemies. That's the Torah of the Bavli. But when you look in the Medrash and the Yerushalmi, in the Medrash of the Yerushalmi, the Ikir underlying side of the Yom Tov of Purim is not that we survived. We're very grateful. But that's not the Ikir Inyan of Purim. The Ikir Inyan of Purim is the Menucha that was afterwards, the peace that came afterwards. The remez, of course, is that the Beis HaMikdash itself is called Zois Menuchasi Adei Ad. The Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tells that Menuchasi is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Ikke Nitzachen, the Ikke, the main thing of the victory, of the whole point of this victory, according to the Yerushalmi, is that now that Haman, who was the one that was behind the letters that were being sent, the Kisvei Sitna, that were being sent around to prevent the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Haman is now killed. Achashverosh is back, so to speak, back on our side and in favor, according to the Medrash and according to the Yerushalmi, of the Jews being allowed to return. That's according to the Yerushalmi. Whereas according to the Bavli, the Yom Tov of Purim was that we almost died, we didn't die, and then afterwards, Akati at Achashverosh Anam, we just remained as the subjects in Shusha, in the Malchus of Paras, we remained in the Golos of Paras, and life continued. The Yerushalmi says no. After Purim, life was no longer the same. There was a new world that became open, and that new world was Shivas Seirim, was the return to Yerushalayim, to resume that effort to build the second Beis HaMikdash and to move towards the Tachlis, towards that Menucha of Zayis Menuchasi Adayad. And this is how we can understand the emphasis that we find in the Yerushalmi when it comes to the Takana of Shushan Purim. That you all know that Shushan Purim is Dafka for the Ayaros Hamukafais Mimais Yehoshua Binun. Right? Shushan Purim Shushan Purim is celebrated on Tesvav in those cities that had walls in the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. And the reason the Yerushalmi gives us for that, what does this have to do with Yemais Yehoshua bin Nun? So the Yerushalmi says, Cholku covered Leitz Yisrael, Shahaisa Chareva Ba'esan Hayam. That in order to give covet to Eretz Yisrael, because at the time that the story of Purim took place, Yerushalayim was still in a state of Chorban. Eretz Yisrael was in a place of Chorban. There was nothing. It was destroyed from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Yerushalmi says, Cholku covered Leitz Yisrael, Shahaisa Chareva Ba'esan Hayamim, V'tolu Oysa B'Yemais Yehoshua bin Nun. Therefore, the Betoyle, the din of Shushan Purim, of the Yom Tov of the walled cities, when Yehoshua bin Nun is when there was the Kibush, the return to Eretz Yisrael. So now, we lay in Megillah Shushan Purim and all those places that had a wall from the days of what? Of the original Kibush, when we got to Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua bin Nun, and the Yerushalmi says, Cholku covered Eretz Yisrael. The reason that the Yerushalmi explains it in such a way is because, according to the Yerushalmi, the pnimius of the neis, the real neis of Purim, and the whole mahus of the Yontif of Purim, is not that we were just able to continue going on and not get killed, and we had a Yeshua and we would be able to live in Golos, to continue on in Golos. Akati avdei Achashverosh Anan, that's the Bavli. According to Yerushalmi, the ikar neis of Purim was the menucha of Purim. Now that Achashverosh, now that the decree of Haman and the gzeira against our return, not only for the annihilation of the Jews in Shushan and Paras, but the prohibition to return to Yerushalayim was now retracted. So we would return to that avoda of going back to Yerushalayim and to build the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, the Rambam, who often goes like the Yerushalmi, the Rambam was very often going with the Yerushalmi. In the first parak in the Halachas of Purim, in the Halachas of Megillah, parak Aleph, Halacha Hey, the Rambam brings the Lashon of the Yerushalmi regarding Shushan Purim. And he ends, he brings the Yerushalmi of Cholku Kavod L'Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam ends and says, V'yeh Zikaron L'Eretz Yisrael B'neis Hazeh. V'yeh Zikaron L'Eretz Yisrael B'neis Hazeh. So that there will be a remembrance of Eretz Yisrael B'neis Hazeh. Why does there have to be a remembrance of Eretz Yisrael B'neis Hazeh? So the simple pshat is, well, it happened in Chutz Laretz, so it's not nice to Eretz Yisrael. It's not nice. How could Jews have a simcha in Meshkachei Yishlayim, Tishkach Yimini? So therefore, we make Shushan Purim in the days of the walled cities, and it should be known, in order that it should be Zikaron for Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam is going like the Yerushalmi. It's not just a nice thing to remember. It's not just a kiyum in the midst of a Meshkachei Yishlayim. It's a whole Yontiv of Purim. The whole Yontiv of Purim is what? Is that simcha of survival. Baruch Hashem, we survived. And now we're going to get back on track with what began when we left Mitzrayim. Betzayisim Mitzrayim is what? Going back to Yerushalayim. The whole tachlis of leaving Mitzrayim was to get to Yerushalayim. We were interrupted along the way by our enemies. And the worst enemy is Amalek. And Haman was the one who was responsible for influencing Achashverosh to stop the return, Shivat Zion, and to stop the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash. And the Yontiv of Purim means that we now are able to resume with the tachlis of our existence, which is to get away from Mitzrayim and to continue on to Yerushalayim, to destroy Amalek and to build the Beis HaMikdash. And to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the tachlis of the Yerba Tachtayim. And that's what we can understand. There are many, many things that can be understood with this. When the Medrash explains that the yichus of Mordechai and Esther, why the neis took place dafka through Mordechai and Esther, who come from Binyamin. Mordechai and Esther come from Binyamin, and the reason for that, the Medrash says, is that Mordechai had the koiches of lekom v'leizar, layuchav v'leishtachav, not to bow down to Haman. Where did he get that? So he got that from the Zaydi Binyamin. Binyamin was not part of the bowing down to Esau. That's Aleph. And Beis, the Medrash says, Shekol ha-shvatim noldu b'chutz laretz. Mordechai said, all of the other shvatim were born in chutz laretz. Was a keini, but my elder Zaydi, Binyamin, is noled b'Eretz Yisrael. My elder Zaydi was born where? In Eretz Yisrael. So Mordechai was saying, Chven in Eretz Yisrael dekehid. That's why it's an emphasis in the Medrash, and we lay it to the Tuna Veicha, the Goyla Shagas, that he was part of the Goyla that came down from Yerushalayim, and he ended up in the Golas of Paras. And the Koiches that he had, what? Not to bow down to the Goy, not to bow down to Amalek, comes from the Elta Zaydi Binyamin. Why? Because the Elta Zaydi Binyamin is not a Chustar's Degiyid. In Chustar's, you bow down to the Goy. In Chustar's, you had to give in to the Goy. The Elta Zaydi was Binyamin. And Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. He's an Eretz Yisrael Degiyid. He's not a Chustar's Degiyid. He's not a Golas Degiyid. He's an Eretz Yisrael Degiyid. An Eretz Yisrael Degiyid is Leich Leishtach. What's Chabach with them? What do I have with the guy? I have to bow down to him. That's an Eretz Yisrael Degiyid. Mordechai is an Eretz Yisrael Degiyid. He came down from Yerushalayim. He's an Eretz Yisrael Degiyid. And now we can understand the Mordechai thing. We have Pisgamim from Rav Kook. Zeches Havikor Shavacha. There's a calendar that we have from Rav Kook. There's a whole sefer that's written to explain this calendar. Rav Kook had a calendar where for every Rosh Chodesh, each of the months, he had a certain pitgam. He had a certain saying, not stam, and that sentence contained within it the mehus of that month. So listen to the calendar that says the sentence by the month of Adar. So Rav Kook writes, Hamaskirim krochim umukofim yemayis Yehoshua binun, those Jews who remember and who are connected to the walled cities from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun, in other words, equals, those Jews who are part of what? Of that kibush of Eretz Yisrael, who are connected to Eretz Yisrael, who are connected to the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, and remember the walled cities, again, Hamaskirim krochim umukofim yemayis Yehoshua bin Nun, lo yuchlu lehishoyer avdei Achashverosh. Listen to the words. Lo yuchlu lehishoyer avdei Achashverosh. Such Jews who are connected to what? Yehoshua bin Nun. Who are connected to Eretz Yisrael. Who are connected to the kibush and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, which is the Indian of the Yerushalmi. Those Jews, Rav Kook says, lo yuchlu lehishoyer avdei Achashverosh. They could not remain servants, slaves. They could not remain subjects. They couldn't stay any longer in the malchus of Achashverosh. There were Jews who did remain. And the Bavli says, Anan Akate Anan Avdei Achashverosh. Akate Achashverosh. We're still members, loyal and faithful members of the Malchus of Persia. We still are law-abiding, tax-paying citizens of Paros. That's the Bavli's model. That the Nitzochen of Tanis, the Yotiv of Purim, is the Nitzochen, is the victory over Amalek. And what happened? Nothing changed. The Maharal makes a point of this in Ur Chadash, where he says, the Maharal says an interesting thing. When we came out of Mitzrayim, it says, right? When we left Mitzrayim, we left and we gained a Ruchush Gom. We made a lot of money when we left Mitzrayim. We gained our freedom. We gained a tremendous amount of wealth. The Maharal says, but by Purim it says, Uba bizo lo yishalach v'yisyodim. We didn't take anything from the spoils. We didn't touch it. Say the whole lumbus, Amalek, not Amalek. We didn't touch Uba bizo lo yishalach v'yisyodim. So the Maharal says, because since when Purim was finished, we remained subjects in the Malchus of Paros, nothing essentially changed. The Yontif of Purim, according to the Bavli, is just life returned to normal. We were happy citizens in Persia. Then our lives were threatened by the Gzeira of Haman. We were afraid that we were going to get killed. Purim, we were saved. The Yeshua of Purim is that we were not killed. We were not killed. We were able to kill those who wanted to kill us. And then what happened the next day after Purim? Everything is regular. We remained in Persia, Persian subjects, the way that it was before. So Maharal says, therefore, since there was nothing new that was gained, that is symbolized by our not taking any spoils out of the war that we had with Amalek and Shushan. There was nothing new. Nothing changed. When we left Mitzrayim, we gained our freedom. And gaining freedom, we also gained the wealth that came with being free people. When we had the Yontif of Purim, at least according to the Bavli, we didn't gain anything new. It's like I heard once at a Simcha that all the Jewish holidays can be summed up. You all heard this. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Right? It's a famous saying. So what happened by Purim is they tried to kill us. We won. Purim. I get Purim. A Ferach in Purim. They tried to kill us. They were unsuccessful. We killed them. That's Yontif. But Lamaisa, in the Bavli, it's a chutz la'aretz tiki Yontif. We don't say halo. And we remained. The way of thinking is that it was Yeshua. We were spared once again from our enemies who in Golas, they tried to kill us. And we were spared. And that's the Yontif of Purim. We killed them. They didn't kill us. Now we have a Yontif of Purim. That's according to the Bavli. Therefore, the Maharal says nothing essentially changed. So there are no spoils of that war. Spoils means I didn't have something and now I have something. But Purim is Babizel HaShalach L'Siyad. It's an interesting Bach. What the Bach seems to be saying that the Ikkar Din of Shalach Manos, this is aside, the Ikkar Din of Shalach Manos, Ish L'Re'eyu, is not to people that you don't know, to make new friends. The Inyan of Shalach Manos is not to send out those to Jews that you don't know and to make new friends. The Inyan of Shalach Manos, the Bach says, if you look in the Halachos of Shalach Manos, the Ikkar Din of Shalach Manos is to strengthen the friendships and the relationships that you already have. Therefore, according to the Bach, the Ikkar people to give to is your family and close friends, not to make new friends. We understand. Since there was no Hischachos by Purim. You follow me? There was no Hischachos. Nothing changed. There was nothing new. Purim means I'm grateful for what I always had. The Sfasema says, what do you mean? Chazal tells, Ayra is Yontiv, Layudim Haisa Arav is Simcha. Simcha is Yontiv, Arav is Torah, Simcha is Yontiv, Sosn is Bismila, Yikar is Tvil. So Sfasema says, so what does that mean? We were always learning, we always had Yontiv, we were always learning Torah, we always had a Bismila, and we always bring on Tvil. So Sfasema says, yes, we always did, but now we were able to resume because we thought we weren't going to be able to. And now we have a new appreciation for our being Jews who could keep these mitzvahs. But nothing changed. There was no mischachos. It was returning to what we always had. Life, Baruch Hashem, is able to come back to normal. That's all. According to the Bavli, life is returning to normal. But what Rav Kook is saying is that here the Yerushalmi disagrees. And that's the difference that we spoke about at the beginning of Tanis Esther. The Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi, which is Teres Eretz Yisrael, which is Teres HaGula, and the Medrash, and also the Zohar Kodesh, we see by the Kavanos of the Arizal, is that the story of Purim is not just the story of Jewish survival. According to the Bavli is telling us that Purim is the miracle of Jewish survival in Galus. That's the according to the Bavli. The miracle of Jewish survival, we were able to defeat our enemies. The Yerushalmi says, no, that's not the Ikkar Inyan of Purim. Therefore, Yud Gimel is not, according to the Yerushalmi, a day l'chadchila of Kriyas HaMegillah, because Yud Gimel was just to be able to survive. It was our survival. Nikalu v'amoid al nafsha. The Yerushalmi says, that's not the Ikkar Nes of Purim that we survived. That's not the Ikkar Nes of Purim that we won. The Ikkar Nes of Purim is what's going to be afterwards. The Menucha of what? The Menucha now, the resumption of our movement towards Zayis Menuchasi Adead, towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we can understand also, I'm going to finish in a few minutes, the Gemara says, the Bavli says, in Yom HaFtes Amin Aleph, Omer of Asa, Loma Nimshula Esther L'Shachar, why is Esther compared to Shachar? Lama Tzeach, Ayelis HaShachar, Ayelis HaShachar, Esther Amalka, the story of Purim is Esther is compared to the dawn, Ayelas HaShachar. Loma Nimshla Esther L'Shachar, Loimelach, Ma Shachar Seif HaLayla. That just as the dawn, the Shachar, is the end of the night, Af Esther Seif Kalanis. So Esther is the Seif Kalanisim that we have in Teresh B'Chassar. It's the Seif Kalanisim, is Megillas Esther. So just like Shachar, Alos HaShachar is the end of the night, so too, Esther is the Seif, Purim is the Seif Kalanis. So at that time of Shachar, of Alos HaShachar, the sun has not yet come up. It's going to come up, but by Alos HaShachar, it's still night, it's still dark. It's a strange time where Orva Choshech HaMishamshim Be'er Buvya. It's a time where it's dark, but it's the beginning, the first spark of light. But it's still Orva Chayshech Mishamshim Be'er Buvya. It's still the day, the night together. It's a Seif HaLayla. It's a Seif. It's the end. Golos is the end. It's the simon of the end of Golos. And Purim, as we know, the Yontiv of Purim is Mislavish B'Teva. Everything that happened in Shushan happened without any open miracles. There was nothing that was clear that it was the hand of Hashem. There were no miracles that took place. It was Mislabish B'Teva. And therefore, it's compared to Shachar, which is still the darkness of night, because Purim took place, we remained in Shushan, and it was still the darkness of Galus. But there was a first simon, there was a simon that Atat, that soon it's going to be better. Soon it's going to be better. But like Shachar, like the time of Shachar. But it was still Galus, it was still night. And therefore, the Bavli is focused on that time of the darkness of Galus, except Purim means there was some reprieve, there was some relief from that darkness of Galus, that we're not going to die. We're not going to die, we're going to survive. It was a good sign. Now, when you look in the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi tells us the same business of Esther and Ayala Sashachar. The Yerushalmi has the following thing. Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon Bar Chalafta, Havam Halchen Bahad Bikas Arab. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon Bar Chalafta were walking by the Bikka of Arab. Ro Ayala Sashachar. And they saw the Ayala Sashachar, the morning star. And they said, Kach hi gulasun shei Yisrael. This is the way of the gula of the Jewish people. Betchila kima kima. First, the gula goes kima kima. It starts slowly, slowly. A little bit, a little bit. Kol shi yoylechus, yoylechus umeyer. The Yerushalmi says, that light gets stronger and stronger. My timer. Why is that? So the Yerushalmi says, ki eisha b'choyshech Hashem orli. Even though right now I'm sitting in darkness, Hashem early, the light of Hashem has appeared. Kach b'tchila, in the beginning it says, Mordechai Yosef b'shar ha-melech. And Mordechai was sitting in the shar ha-melech. V'achakach it says, V'yoshev Mordechai el shar ha-melech. And Mordechai comes back to the shar ha-melech when things are starting to turn around. Everything's turning around in the story. V'achakach v'yikach chominis ha-levush v'sasos. And then it gets even better, the story. The light is getting stronger. Because then what? Then Haman has to take the horse and has to lead Mordechai out. Right? So the miracle, like the dawn, the miracle is growing stronger and stronger. Yerushalmi calls Purim Geulasam Shel Yisrael. You don't have such a term in the Bible. But the Bavli, it was Golus, no hallow. Just we survived. Tanis Esther is the Iker Hanes, according to the Bavli, is Tanis Esther. Therefore, Tanis Esther is posher to the Bavli. It doesn't need any reboy from any posik. It's posher than a Tanis Esther, you can lay in the Megillah. It's posher that it's a day for laying in the Megillah. Why? Like Rashi explained, it's the Iker Hanes was Tanis Esther. What's the Iker Hanes? Well, Hashem, they didn't kill us. We killed them. That's the Iker Hanes. It's a Yeshua. It's a Nes of Yeshua. But according to the Yerushalmi, Yud Gimel is not the Ikanes, and it's not a day of Chachila to lay in the Megillah. It's only because you're allowed to lay in your Aleph Yud Beis, you lay on your Dal Tesvav, so Yud Gimel is in the middle, so Nunu, but David, you can lay in Yud Gimel. But when it comes out of Shabbos, we push ahead to the Yom HaKnesset, not in Yud Gimel. Why? Because Yud Gimel, according to the Yerushalmi, Yud Gimel means Jewish survival. It means contending with our enemies, not getting killed, being able to go on living in Galus, being able to live as Jews in Galus, who are safe in Galus. That's according to the Bavli. And that's the simcha of V'nahafaychu. We don't say halal because it's chutz la'aretz, and we remained, everything was the same after the story of Purim. Nothing changed. The Yerushalmi calls Purim Geulasam Shei Yisrael. It's not about the darkness of Shachar. Shachar is also the lesson of Shachor, of black. Shachar means shachris, means dark, it means black. Now, the Yerushalmi is not focused on the blackness, the darkness of Ayala Sashachar. The Yerushalmi is telling us that when the Yom Tov of Purim happened, and we had Menucha, which was not on Yud Gimel, not on Yud Gimel, not on Tanis Esther. Menucha was afterwards, on Yudalah. Nochva Yehudim is Yudalah. Nochva Yehudim means that now we saw that we are, once again, we are in the parasha of that Hechatimsa, of the sun rising higher and higher in the sky, and our march will resume going back to Yerushalayim, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because the whole Yontif of Purim really is that, according to Yerushalmi, is the nullification of the decrees of Achashverosh, of Haman, to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the whole Yontif of Purim, is the resumption of our journey towards Yerushalayim to build the second Beis HaMikdash, which means to ultimately build the final Beis HaMikdash from Mashiach Tzidkenu. We're going back to Yerushalayim, and therefore all of the Chazals and all the Chassidishes on the talk about, and all the Mashavas on the talk about the Nin of Purim, that all the other Yom Tovim are single bottle except the Yom Tov of Purim shall be forever. And Purim is Me'ain, like what Matt was talking about last night, that Purim is Me'ain, what's going to be when Mashiach comes. What is it about Purim? Purim is the yontif of Mimayis Yeshua Ben Nun that began when we first came to Eretz Yisrael, and it resumed with the return to Eretz Yisrael that started not in Yud Gimel, it started Yud Dalet. The menucha of building the Beis HaMikdash, of building the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll just end and I'll remind some of the chevra who were part of the limud that we had. We were zeichet to learn the Maimer Hador from Rav Kook. Some of the chevra was here when we learned the Maimer. That's already quite a few years ago. After we learned the Arsat Shuva, we learned the Maimer Hador, and then we learned the Arsat Taira. So this is a remarkable Maimer, the Maimer Hador. And Rav Kook is speaking about what's unique, what changed in that generation at that time, the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, that Kufa, where there was a Hesirus of Shiva Sion and so on, what was changing. And he speaks about the difference of how we are in Eretz Yisrael and how it is in Chutz La'aretz. He says, Ayyahadush of Chutz La'aretz, Yiddishkeit in Chutz La'aretz, Einenia Cholulias b'milu of Tarasa. Yiddishkeit in Chutz La'aretz cannot be in all of its perfection, its fullness, and all of its pureness. The Gemara says, when you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's ki'ilu, you don't have a Ribbono Shel'Olam. Shom begeitz ha'mavetz, Chutz La'aretz is essentially geitz ha'mavetz, a place of death. Shom begeitz ha'mavetz, e'efshel leches b'merachav. The Jews cannot go b'merachav, it's not our place. We can't go b'merachav, in a way of expansiveness, it's not our place. E'efshel lishoif l'chayim leim. You can't really have aspirations for chayim leim, for full life. He goes on with all of this. And then he says, that can only be found in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz he says, Yimzer Shem Yisrael al Kein Hu Muchur Sham Lius Tzeleya al Yerecha. When we're living in Chutz La'aretz, we're Tzeleya al Yerecha. We're just limping. Like Yaakov Avinu after he fought with the Malach. In Chutz La'aretz we're limping. And in Chutz La'aretz he says, Lirkos is kol mishalois of rak b'milui tzorach v'aprotim. In Chutz La'aretz we're focused on just surviving. Dividing up into little kehilas, different groups, shuls, different communities, different chassidus, whatever it is, and dividing up and trying to, each community, to care for itself and to worry about itself. Rak b'milui tzorach v'aprotim, just to survive, to manage. Chutz La'aretz is a dangerous place. Golos now, that's much better than it used to be. Golos is a bad place. Golos is a dangerous place. And Rav Kook says that at best, when we're in Chutz La'aretz, is just trying to make it, just trying to manage to be able to survive. Just that we should have what to eat. The Jews should be able to make a panos and have what to eat. Really, that's what we've been doing for thousands of years in Golos. Just trying to have what to eat to survive. That's really what it was about. Not getting killed. Not getting killed. If you didn't get killed, it was a yontif. That's really what it is. If you made it, it's a yontif. The worst thing is teaching Jewish history. I did that for a couple of years. I taught Jewish history for years in high school because it's so depressing. Because the guys in the class would ask, it sounds like there were always pogroms and pogroms and inquisitions and holocausts. Like, was there any nice things that happened to us? So I always explained, mostly it was good. It was good, but we had these bad things that happened every now and then, but mostly it was good. But if we could speak to a Jew that lived during the Middle Ages, he would say that he never knew the next day what's going to be coming around the corner. Who's the next one that's coming to town? It wasn't good. It was very, very hard. And it was good. It was good. Not that you had to gain anything new. Not that there was any cheres, eschachos. Not that there was any sholol, any biza. It was, I'm alive. Another day that I'm alive, shana yontiv. It's already yontiv. That's Purim. Rav Kook says, "Umizeh ba sheha'avir hazeh atzmo mizahim es aleiv." Living such a life in Chutz La'aretz, just wanting to survive—that's the best you could do. He says that pollutes the heart of a Jew, the hamayach ha'yisraeli, and the mind of a Jew shrinks, becomes small. And all you're doing is just to try to survive, like Nebuch, like our parents and grandparents in the ghettos and the concentration camps. It was just to survive. There was no chalom over there of what. But they were sitting in Auschwitz thinking about Yerushalayim, about what?
Dubai.
Forget about Dubai. They were thinking, oh yeah, Dubai. They were thinking about Yerushalayim. No, they're thinking about how do I get out of this place? Not even that. It wasn't even that. My father told me they weren't thinking about getting out of the place. They were just thinking about when am I going to eat again? When's the next miserable, moldy, disgusting crust of whatever that was? When am I going to have it again? That's all. Zero. just to make it. That's the life of Am Yisrael, Rav Kook says in Galus. And such a life, it makes you small. He says it's mezahim es halev. It pollutes the heart, v'amoch ha'Yisraeli, and the Jewish mind. Machlisho, it weakens. Umetamtamai, and it dulls. Hakein derech hakvisha klolis yaderech Yosef shows melich lachefet shama. Therefore, he says chutzlaris is just a matter of what of he calls it kvisha, which means just trying to fight against the elements. And he avalozosi taras achayim and it's rechus l'dor shalikud the mashiach. But now he says we've come to the generation we're getting ready for mashiach. That's no longer the case. Shimuchvachas l'moshech meretz achayim. We now have to draw our life meretz achayim memokam beis chayena. From the place of our life, where we're fully alive. Knesset Yisrael is naru l'tchia. The Jewish people have come back to life. And he goes on to the rest of the Bible. We've come, we've awakened. The shachar has arrived, the dawn has arrived. And now we have to draw a new life from beis chayin, from the place of our life. And that's Eretz Yisrael. Behind the scenes, That's what the Yom Tov Purim is about. And the Nafkimin is, what exactly is Tanis Esther? What's the Tachlis? The Bavli holds the Tanis Esther, that's the Tachlis. Nekalu va'amoid al nafsham, va'amoid al nafsham. Echlepnach. I'm alive. They were going to wipe all of us out, and we're alive. Life will continue, Baruch Hashem. We can go on with our buildings, with our yeshivas, with our moizdis, with our shuls. Everything remained open. They opened up again. The lockdown is over in Persia. Lockdown is over. No more seger. No more lockdown. Everything opens up again. The Jews are happy. The lockdown is over. But there are some Jews who are not happy when the lockdown is over. The Yerushalmi are not happy when the lockdown is over. Yerushalmi see that it's a sign. The lockdown is over. It's time to go home. So, Yigi Ezman Lazar Baita. That's what the Yerushalmi Jews see. And therefore, the Ikya Yom Tov Purim according to Yerushalmi is not Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther was, Baruch Hashem, was a big nice. We had a Yeshua. It was beautiful. But the Ikki Yom Tov Purim can't be Tanis Esther. The Ikki Yom Tov Purim is after the story of Purim was finished, and Nochu Yehudim Ha'Yveyim, and now Jews in Persia said, the Yerushalmi Yidden, the ones who really cared, they turned to each other and they said, you're thinking what I'm thinking? And the Yom says, yeah, it's time to go home. We should be Zeichet.